So let me see if I get this straight. They consider conservatives the weirdos and the screwy people. Really?
It's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders, for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past but the future.
This is Truth to Ponder.
Unburdened by what has been.
With Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, this program today marks a very significant event. This marks the end of 4 years of doing this program. And Monday, when we come back, marks the beginning of our 5th year of doing the program Truth to Ponder. And I know some of you have been with us since the very beginning, and some have discovered us recently on some of the radio stations in which we air, and other places like Conviction Radio, which we are now on twice a day, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank all those that make the time to listen. When I try to prepare this program, I try to find news that is maybe different or a story you may know, but to give you a little bit of a different perspective. Now, on yesterday's program, many of you heard I had as my guest Hal Turner. Now, whether you agree with Hal Turner on everything or not is irrelevant, but I really felt strongly that what he had to share regarding so much of the misinformation and misunderstanding and the lack of credible news from our mainstream media on what the events in Ukraine are really all about. I'll be sharing some additional things later on in the program regarding some of the misunderstandings about Ukraine. When we launched this program 4 years ago, the pandemic was still coming on strong. Everybody had had great hope early on that, hey, maybe by the spring or the summer, it'll all be over and we get back to normal by the 4th of July. Well, that never happened. Instead, in many areas, they kept saying, well, we're seeing a lot of people testing positive for COVID. You need to stay home. Keep on your face diaper. Don't go to school. Don't go to work. Don't go anywhere except where we let you go. And you had morons and just little dictators like Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who now is running for vice president with Kamala Word Salad Harris. What a pair they are. He was the kind of a guy that thought it was really important, just like they did down under in Australia. They went just corona crazy down there. I mean, really insane, sick insane. I mean, institutionalized rubber straight jacket in a rubber room insane. People were standing in their doorways, not out on the street. And the police were coming down neighborhoods in like Minneapolis, St. Paul, firing paintballs at people in their own doorway. This is how low, despicable, and sick it became in Minnesota under a moron of a governor, a reprobate of a governor, an evil man, I think a very sick individual in Tim Walz. And how Tim Walz became governor, how Minnesota became so intellectually derelict, destroyed, and bankrupt is amazing when you look at the history. How did this happen? How could such a beautiful state with such great farming, 10,000 lakes, how could a state like Minnesota become so, well, demonic? How could this have happened? And it didn't take that many years. I mean, it's one thing. Look, 50 years ago, a lot of states, well, they leaned Democrat. Some leaned Republican. But for the most part, they were all free, and you didn't have total weirdos in charge. But you do now. Today, it's a bizarre freak show of illness and sickness and debauchery and literally demonic possession, as far as I'm concerned. I can remember watching the Democrat convention a couple of weeks ago. Seems like an eternity ago now. And Kamala Harris and Tim Walz come on stage. And I've seen this picture a few dozen times, and I remember watching it, and it was just like, you've got to be kidding. If you're old enough to remember the movie and the record album Saturday Night Fever, you know, John Travolta in the lead back in the 70s, and that pose that he struck with his hand up in the air, pointing to the sky in that dance move, that's how Tim Wallace came out on the stage. And every time I think of Tim Walz waltzing out on the stage and some of the weird stuff that he's done, the only thing that comes to mind is this.
I feel charming, oh so charming, it's alarming how charming I feel, and so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real.
La 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 la.
Now, as I've said before, the left would like you to believe that conservatives are the weird people that do the strange stuff that can't be trusted. You know, we're the oddballs. Conservatives. I remember I shared it, I think, last week. Kamala Harris said, you know, why is conservative being bad, Mom? I thought conserving was a good thing. Well, Kamala, you were right in your initial instinct. Conserving is a good thing. Being conservative is not a bad thing at all. It means you believe in freedom. It really shows you believe in individual responsibility, something you and your party have long since abandoned for convenience. And now Kamala Harris, and this is what I can't get through my head. It wasn't but a few months ago. I'm saying well before the debate on the 27th of June. I'm saying go back to, March and April, the things being said about Biden. You know, Biden is as sharp as a tack, the best Biden that ever was, according to Joe Scarborough over at MSNBC and Morning Joe. He goes, I've known Biden for years, and this is the best Biden ever, sharp as a tack. And don't buy all this stuff they're saying that he's getting too old or unable to do anything. And yet my wife and I watch enough news and stuff from many sources, and it was becoming increasingly obvious that the kind of conversation that Joe Biden could hold 4 years ago, he was incapable of doing today. There has been that much of a decline. And sad to say, but it's true, that much of a decline. And they were trying to gaslight you and I that, hey, everything is fine, nothing to worry about. A lot of conservatives, and I fell into that camp, thought that Kamala Harris was really impeachment insurance for Biden because nobody would want that clown in the White House. I mean, after all, when she ran in the 2020 election, she was the first one to drop out because her polling and raising money was so dismal. And so Kamala Harris has just been a sideshow, freak show joke in the White House. She burns through staff. The White House people did not like her. They gave her all these jobs she never did. And somehow, magically, after the debate on the 27th of June, and I told you on the broadcast right after that, the title of that program for the podcast was The Controlled Demolition of Joe Biden. And it all became very clear, some of the things that had been leaking out all the way back into the latter part of 2023. I think every bit of his demise was orchestrated. And I think they were leaking material to the conservative media, which would definitely let their viewers and readers see it. like Newsmax and even Fox and a lot of other websites. Breitbart comes to mind. I can think of Daily Caller. A lot of places were starting to show Biden's inabilities. And so you already had it growing on one side of the aisle, the potential issues. And you still had the mainstream media following direct orders not to reveal or do anything. Not yet. Not until we tell you. You still have to protect and circle the wagons around the old dude and never let the world see what a mess he really is. Though most of the world leaders already knew the kind of mess that the United States had in Joe Biden. There were a lot of people wanting to see him off the ticket. And I have no, and look, you remember all that, you can remember all the speculation of all the insiders, you know, all the insiders that know everything on the inside telling you that it's going to be Michelle Obama. You just watch before the convention. They're going to slip her right in there. Or maybe Gavin Newsom. And then you had J.B. Pritzker up there in Illinois thinking maybe he could pull it off. And there were a few others. Gretchen Whitmer was thinking the same thing. And who knows? There were several that were already like vultures looking at the Joe Biden carcass that hadn't yet died, trying to figure out how to get in there. And I really have come to conclude, and this is just my opinion. I don't have any particular inside information. This is just my inclination. They knew last year that Biden had to go. And for over a year, they had been preparing the possibility. And that's why they were, that's why, do you remember when Gavin Newsom debated DeSantis, governor to governor? That idea, you know, it was trying to test the waters to see who could they put in there. And then, like I say, a lot of pundits are saying, oh, it's going to be Michelle Obama. And my instinct said, nope, I don't think so. Unless she really wants it. And something just said, no, I don't think so. They like enjoying their millions of dollars. They like having control over the system, but they don't want to run the day-to-day anymore. I just didn't see that. And I'm sure there was a lot of polling being done and focus groups being done. And they knew that Biden was in trouble. And there wasn't a whole lot of excitement in a Gavin Newsom with all the baggage of California. And Gretchen Whitmer had the same issues. Prickster, well, people just don't like him outside of Illinois. A lot of them in Illinois don't like him. And so they had a real crenundum, you know, they were a real mess on their hand. Crenundum. They didn't know what to do. But they knew that they had to do something. And the only thing they knew, they had to get Biden off the ticket, but Biden was not going. I mean, between his wife, Jill, and Hunter Biden's legal problems, you know, dad's got to stay at all cost. You know, we have people running things here, even if dad's asleep. You know, we got it figured out. But they knew from internal polling that it would be too difficult to steal the election with Biden at the head of the ticket. I am convinced of this. And so Biden had to go. And somehow they convinced him to do this debate early. I mean, neither one had yet even had their conventions. The Republicans had their convention in July, Democrats in August, and they're doing this in June. And they put together, this was kind of, you can't win for losing setup for Donald Trump. They set all the rules and told Trump, you have to abide by our rules or no debate. And one of two things would happen. Trump would say, I'm not debating, and then they could, you know, cover up Biden a little longer. But if he debated, which they were pretty certain that he would, and this format that everybody thought would be negative to Donald Trump actually worked to his advantage. Biden, with an open mic and nobody helping him, had a very, very difficult time in America, unscripted and live on television for the first time. Many, many on the left, many that watch Mind Syphilis NBC or CNN, for the first time saw, what's wrong with this guy? They had no idea. They had no idea it was this bad. You mean it really isn't deep fakes? You remember when they were saying that at the White House about 2 weeks before this debate, when they're showing all of these clips and saying, oh, these are just edited. And they turned out they were never edited. You were looking at the whole clip. And yet the press secretary at the White House was declaring they're all lies. It's all misinformation. It's what they always do. They just lie and lie some more. And if that doesn't work, they lie again. And so they're lying to the American people that know these were the real deal. And suddenly, in a matter of hours after that debate, the same people like Joe Scarborough, the same people that were defending him over at MSNBC and CNN, suddenly we have a problem on our hands, and maybe it's time for Mr. Biden to consider either not running or even stepping down from the presidency. Here's where I think something went wrong. Now follow with me. I really believe that those in the, shall we say, the hidden rooms making the big decisions that we never see who these people are, they knew that Biden had to go because they had no chance of winning otherwise. But Biden was not being cooperative. They thought that Biden would, with that debate, be embarrassed enough for him to withdraw. And then they could have an open convention. Didn't work. I really believe that he fought tooth and nail to stay. I think he and his wife Jill are that delusional that they think that they could win this and they could hide it like they have been doing. They fought successfully, but not. I mean, are you following with me here? I stand amazed that what they probably threatened him with. I didn't hear any phone conversation, but I can guarantee you that the conversation with somebody like a Nancy Pelosi and other leaders within the Democrat Party going, Joe, you know what's going to happen if you don't step down. Kamala Harris, who you don't like, you pretend you do, but you really don't like, she's going to assemble the cabinet and they're going to 25th Amendment you out of that seat. Now, you may fight to get back, but you'll be so wounded you'll never win come the fall. If you don't step down, you know, we're going to just ruin you. And it took Joe a couple of weeks, but I think he made a decision. And this is what I really believe. I don't think in any shape, manner, or form, the idea of putting Kamala Harris in that place, just to slide her in, was plan A to get rid of Biden. Maybe plan B, C, or D, but not A. And I think the only way that Kamala Harris was going to play ball to get rid of Biden off the ticket was to be put in there as the new candidate for president. Now, once again, like in 2020, she never had one delegate, not a one. And in this convention in 2024, nobody had ever voted for her to be the presidential nominee of the Democrat Party. She was just installed. And it was all done remotely and I think really not in keeping with, quote, a democracy. They just installed a leader. This is the kind of stuff that our government is pretty bad about doing. We do it overseas all the time. We mess around in countries all the time. So the Democrats did the same thing. Okay, Kamala will put you in. But now we have to reinvent you. And you're going to have to listen to us. You just can't run your mouth any old time you want. And so she's been on a very tight leash for a very long time and will continue to be so. And they hope that they can push her through the election. That's why we'll be having some more pandemics. I got that story coming up in just a minute. But the thing that I don't understand with all the scripting the party leaders did is how in the world did they pick such a loser in Tim Walz to be the vice presidential candidate? The man is a buffoon. The man is buffoonish. The man is, look, any man that thinks it's a good idea, I mean, just hear the things that Tim Walz thinks were the most important things in Minnesota for him. We must have tampons in the boys' bathrooms in junior high school and even elementary school. In other words, fourth grade boys need to have tampons available in their bathroom. That's Tim Walz. Transgender Tim. Only a person with mental defects, serious mental illness or demonic possession, believes that's a good idea. And only somebody that hates life as much as many Democrats do. Oh, they talk about reproductive freedom and health care. And he signed a bill that if a baby is born during a botched abortion, you can let it die. You don't have to resuscitate a living human being, even if they're thoroughly viable. That is the kind of evil man Tim Walz is. This is his soul, and it's dark, and it's damned. And this is what would be a heartbeat away from the presidency if something ever happened to Kamala, if they managed to be able to steal the election. And don't believe the polls that are out there. When they skew the Democrat numbers by 10 to 15% to make it look like she's winning by a couple percent, no, they're not real. They're trying to set you up for a stolen election. And so, stolen valor, tampon Tim, dances onto the stage, and he's the one that thinks that J.D. Vance is weird. Look at Tim Walz's policy. They are stranger than any kind of fiction you could ever imagine.
I feel stunning.
I feel stunning.
And entrancing.
And entrancing.
Feel like running and dancing for joy.
For I love my pretty wonderful world.
Now understand, the biggest question that I have today, and it's shared, I know, by many of you. In a country of around 300 plus million people, 300 million people, when I look at Kamala Harris and tampon Tim Walz, sorry, but that's what you are in my book. A very weird individual. And you're calling everybody else weird. You know, conservatives, we're the weird ones. We're the dangerous ones. You know, we're the ones that need to be on the no-fly list because we believe in things like God and reality, right and wrong, and male and female. Not fluid. Male and female. Or gender. Or identity. We believe in some scientific absolutes. Not made-up science. You know, I learned one thing when somebody says today, after what we've learned these past 4 years, when they say follow the science, all they're really telling you is do as we say. And don't worry about the facts. You just need to be compliant and obey. Everything about the pandemic to me proves several things. They were able to determine quickly what people in a city or town or state would be compliant little sheeples and who would not. I've got a couple of stories that I do want to share, and I'll fit them in on the other side of the break coming up in just a little bit. But I just want you to understand this individual, Kamala Harris, if this is the best the Democrats have to offer as a presidential candidate, we're in a world of hurt. The woman is unqualified to be anything of importance. I would say get a job at a Waffle House, but the people at the Waffle House that I've met are vastly more intelligent and more competent than Kamala Harris. I mean that sincerely. Tim Walz, you're a liar, an opportunist, and a deviant. And I really believe you're a very dangerous man that needs to be nowhere near the White House. And I pray the voters will figure that out in time. And Kamala proves her inability to communicate, standing on her own 2 feet, every time she opens her mouth.
You need to get to go. I need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
The significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Well, I think culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning.
What's going on here? Well, I don't stand there with your beak open. Say something. Explain yourself. Your tongue's flapping, but no noise is coming out of your big mouth.
As I said, in a nation of 300 million people, this is the best they have to offer. A woman that can't communicate off a teleprompter, and a man that I think is mentally deranged. That is your ticket. That is what the Democrat Party is giving us. And they dare say that conservatives are weird and strange and delusional? Really? You need to look in the mirror if you're even considering voting for Kamala Harris and tamp on Tim Walz. I'm sorry. They are unfit for office. But I really believe that Kamala had them over a barrel. They knew that they would never win with Joe Biden at the head of the ticket. And they probably know some more stuff coming out that was going to make it really difficult. They believe firmly that the Trump campaign was basing everything on going up against Biden. I believe if some of the Democrat elite had their way, there would have been either a mini primary or delegates released. You know, up until the primary, up until the actual Democrat convention, there was always the possibility Joe could change his mind and force the issue and then force it into an open primary. And I'm sure there was some panic. And when that didn't happen and Biden came and left on that Monday night, I know there was a lot of sighs of relief. And now they just have to repackage and resell the American people on this dim-witted individual who is the vice president, who was the insurance to keep Biden from being impeached. And now they have to resell her, repackage her, and I'm sure the folks at Madison Avenue worked overtime. In just a couple of minutes, I've got a few more stories that you've got to hear that defined the time in which we're living today. And I believe for some of you, it's going to be a little bit on the scary side.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got several stories in this segment that are must-hear stories. Some you've already heard, some maybe not so much, but they're very important. A couple of quick behind-the-scenes updates. This coming week is my hopefully final immunotherapy treatment. We had a course of six over 6 weeks, had number five on Thursday, and of course Friday, you're hearing this program, I had to pre-record the program because it does take a full day and a half to recoup from that treatment. And then we're back at it again Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday trying to get all these programs produced. So keep in your prayers. This should be the last week coming up this Thursday. And I've got some plans for this radio program. A lot of it is really up to you. We've been doing the program now. We are winding up our fourth year. 4 years. And we enter our fifth year next week. But a lot of it really depends on you. Do you really believe in what we're doing? I remember when I started the program, and this is, I'm just being honest with you, with what I had learned and seen during the pandemic, watching government officials willingly and knowingly lie and suddenly realizing the CDC does not have your best interest at heart. I felt, I've always been, shall I say, not fully trusting of my government, but not to the level that it moved to during the pandemic. And I had come out of retirement to do my part with an open heart and realizing what they were asking me to do was lie. And I couldn't do that, so I left. And I can remember debating what to do as we got into the end of May and June, and I'm thinking, how do I share what I know with an audience? And I thought about putting maybe a short little daily video together that you could see on, you know, on maybe Rumble, because I knew YouTube would be taking it down right away. You know, that's just how they would be. Should I consider doing something like that? Maybe a podcast, but how do I get it launched? I really considered the possibilities of what we could do. And a friend of mine who divides his time between Pennsylvania and Florida just happened to call me up one day. Said, Bob, I'm just thinking about you. What you up to, brother?
And I said, I got this idea, but I'm not sure how to launch it. And he said, what are you thinking about doing? I said, I'm thinking about developing a radio program to put it on shortwave, but I cannot afford shortwave airtime. I mean, you know, I am retired. I don't work for a living anymore. And, you know, we get by, but it would have been just too big of an expense to front. And he said, well, how much would it take to get you on the air for, you know, 90 days? And I gave him a figure that I thought was close enough. He said, no problem, I'm going to mail you a check. And he did. And once he said that, I started making the contact and to get the airtime reserved. We started doing that in August. About the second week of August, we started getting the airtime lined up. I built the website and started getting everything prepared to start doing this radio program. And we launched it on the last day of August. And we've been here ever since. Thankfully, as the money that was given to start the program was running out, many of you as listeners started taking up the slack. $5 here, $50 there, and increments that were just large and small. And God kept it pieced together. We looked at a lot of various platforms and opportunities. And our primary station, as most of you know, is WRMI. We're also on WTWW. But I can honestly say, and this is not unique to this radio program, I know many other Christian broadcasters, even secular conservative broadcasters around the country on radio and podcast, they share the same story with me. Their income is way down. And we can understand why. This economy, this Bidenomics is a joke. Inflation is a tax to feed the globalist elite. I mean, I'm not saying that as some conspiracy theorist. It's just real. In order to pay for all this debt, you know, you have to print more money. And as more money gets printed, the money that you and I have becomes worth less. That's why eggs and ground beef and food in general are substantially higher. And the big lie that's being told now that, well, it's getting better, fine. So you're telling me an item that cost a dollar that went up to $1.70, now that it's $1.50, things are better. That's ridiculous. But that's what they're trying to convince us is a good thing. And you get all these people that are mindless, that don't have the common sense that God gave seafood to figure it out. All they see is their unfettered abortion and transgenderism and homosexuality and weirdness in the school and any other thing that the evil minds of neo-pagans puts on their hearts, which is nothing more than demons, to destroy ourselves. And they go for it, and the Democrat Party is totally latched onto it. And so I'll just say, and as we get started in this segment, the continuation of this radio program is really dependent upon you. I knew when I started and I knew when we began that my prayer was to make it through the election and maybe through the worst of the pandemic. Never realizing the election, well, I kind of figured I didn't trust anything that I was seeing. I remember everyone saying, oh, look at Trump rallies, man. He can't lose. And I'm going, don't count on it. And I still say that. We may be coming into some uncharted waters. And my prayer is that you keep this radio programming going at least through the election, if not longer. I'm going to strictly leave it up to you, and I'll tell you more before the end of the program today. Now, I want to share this story. A lot of Americans don't know about this one. Not even most Canadians know about this one. But this comes from our neighbor to the north. And when I read this story, it really concerned me right down to my soul. There are some people in the Ontario province, in the Waterloo region, that are a little bit concerned about something happening in their neck of the woods. There's an attempt to acquire 770 acres of very viable and productive farmland for reasons that remain unclear. Now, if you go back to April of this year, Ontario Commandant Dictator Doug Ford said he had asked the regions and municipalities across the province to assemble land for potential industrial investment purposes, which appears to include 770 acres of farmland in the Wilmont Township just outside of Kitchener, Ontario. And what is really concerning about this is, you know, why the need for this farmland? Why do they have to have it? There's plenty of other land that can be used. And I know a lot of people have been accused of being conspiracy theorists when people see good farmland being turned into everything but farmland. Is there an agenda to control food production globally? I think that there is. When you look at all the food you buy in the grocery stores, whether you're in Canada or the United States, there's only a handful of companies that control most of the products you and I can buy. Now, I do like living out in, shall we say, the country, because at least we have some choices and local farmers to get some of the stuff. We have a local meat store not that far from here, and I can tell you the quality is vastly different than the stuff they sell you at Walmart or the, you know, the big chain grocery stores. I have no doubt that food is going to be a weapon in the very near future. The globalists, as we talked about yesterday, are doing everything to get people into lockstep. I really believe the globalists will do what they can to once again attempt to steal an election. They were successful, I believe, in 2020, almost successful in 2016 here in the United States. And as I've said 1,000 times before, evil will never rest. Even if they can't get what they want in their lifetime, they know that they're part of a machine to get that satanic goal somewhere down the road. We are coming into a time of huge control. And the globalist, World Economic Forum, people that they just want to upset the apple cart and keep nothing but trouble going on across the globe. Plenty of stories like that we run into each and every day. We shared on yesterday's program, and I want to share this with you. Hal Turner talked about a telephone conversation that had been intercepted by the Russians back in 2014. And Hal explained yesterday, and I agree with him on this, that the United States has been messing around in Ukraine for ages. We even know we were messing with Ukraine back in the 1950s, funding former Nazi soldiers that had fought on the German side in World War II to be an irritant to the Soviet Union. And so we've been playing games globally, you know, for 70, 80, 100 years, maybe longer. And so none of this is new. Victoria Nuland, to me, is one of the most dangerous people allowed to walk free on the planet Earth. She is supposedly a diplomat, but she's a warmonger. She's in the likes of the Cheneys and Kingsishers and all of them, the Bush family. Anybody that makes a profit out of war, these are the people. They're the globalists, the bankers chosen, and you find them in both Democrat and Republican parties. Yeah, they're there in both parties, the uniparty. And Hal alluded to a bit of a conversation. I've had to do a slight bit of editing for language, but I want you to listen to just about a minute of that phone call with Victoria Nuland and another one of her people in the State Department. as they're talking about how they want to thoroughly change the government in Ukraine.
No, I think, I mean, that's what he proposed. But I think just knowing the dynamic that's been with them, where Klitschko has been the top dog, he's going to take a while to show up for whatever meeting they've got. And he's probably talking to his guys at this point. So I think you reaching out directly to him helps with the personality management among the three. And it gives you also a chance to move fast on all this stuff and put us behind it before they all sit down and he explains why he doesn't like it.
Okay, good. I'm happy. Why don't you reach out to him and see if he wants to talk before or after?
Okay, will do. Thanks.
Okay, I've now written, one more wrinkle for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I told you this or if I only told Washington this, that when I talked to Jeff Feltman this morning, he had a new name for the UN guy, Robert Seri. Did I write you that this morning?
Yeah, okay. I saw that.
He's now gotten both Seri and Ban Ki-moon to agree that Seri could come in Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
So that would be great, I think, to help glue this thing and have the UN help glue it and, you know, fuck the EU.
No, exactly. And I think we've got to do something to make it stick together, because you can be pretty sure that if it does start to gain altitude, the Russians will be working behind the scenes to try to torpedo it.
Now, put that in perspective, and I apologize for the bad sounding kind of word in there, but it's what she said. And the State Department, especially under people like Blinken, they think she's a wonderful asset to the State Department. Now, she's technically retired. She's just getting away and doing what she does best in the shadows. The woman is an evil globalist, period. She would love nothing better than a one-world government. She has no appreciation, and either do I, but I'm a little bit different about this. She doesn't even care what the EU thinks, and considering Ukraine is in their backyard, it's not sitting here in North America, she believes it's her right, along with the State Department and other globalists, to interfere with the affairs of a sovereign nation. Now, granted, as we said yesterday, and I've said it before hundreds of times, Ukraine as a sovereign nation has only been around since the early 1990s. It had always been a part of some other nation or a territory. That's the truth. But she believes that she can weasel herself in there with her globalist friends and tell them how they're going to live and what their government is going to be. And they don't even care what the EU thinks. It's only what Victoria Nuland and the Obama administration at the time, this was from 2014, as they were ginning up for the war we now have with Russia, that was their creation. It got interrupted in 2016 with the election of Donald Trump. And the warmongers were furious. And they've been working ever since. Inauguration Day 2017 to impeach, destroy, get rid of, use lawfare, whatever it takes, an assassin's bullet to get rid of Trump, because they want to get back and they want to keep the war going with Russia. And I think they're so demonically delusional, they don't care if it comes to nuclear war and destruction as long as they live. Now, I want you to remember, the same globalists, the same ones that using Tony Fauci and Ralph Barrick and others to bring us
COVID-19.
These evil individuals are busy trying to find out which new pandemic or health scare can stick. I mean, they've been trying to gin up COVID again. I even see it here in Virginia, and I know people talking about getting COVID in some cases again and again. Multiple times. And while some people are falling for it, the number of face diapers appearing in public is not near as many as the globalists need. People are not playing that game. Some believe because they're vaccinated, it doesn't apply to them, and they're the ones primarily coming down with COVID for the second and third time in many cases. And those that are unvaccinated that had it, and they're immune to it, and they're not playing the game. And they're not going to lay compliance. So they've been trying everything from monkeypox And they're trying to say that monkeypox now is infecting people, even though it's a disease transmitted primarily by gay men in Africa. But somehow it's going to jump into the American mainstream, and that's a good reason to shut down the world and the economy again, and also use it to steal an election. Saw this story about a town in Massachusetts being urged not to leave their homes after dark because of deadly mosquito-borne viruses. The Board of Health in Oxford, Massachusetts, a city of 13,300 people, 50 miles southwest of Boston, has set an outdoor curfew to reduce the chances of people being bitten by mosquitoes, which carry Eastern equine encephalitis. Or encephalitis. I mean, they're going to keep trying and trying and trying until something sticks. So how many cases have there been of this terrible EEE? You know, this encephalitis or whatever it is, Eastern equine encephalitis. We'll just call it triple E or psychop triple E. How many cases have there been? How many? One case. And the symptoms sure sound like the slow kill bioweapon adverse effects that you see from a Pfizer COVID vaccine. More than, I digress, but. And so how old is this triple E sufferer? Well, in his 80s. And apparently he got the disease a few weeks ago. This is a replay of the COVID methodology. One person, then two, then four, then eight, then 16, 32, and then 32 million in your town. And all these symptoms occur within 4 to 10 days of being bitten. Sound familiar? I don't know. Will it be COVID part two, monkeypox part one, maybe some mosquito bite? They're going to keep throwing this out there till something sticks. You know, former COVID czar Anthony Fauci, he got hospitalized with the West Nile virus. Come on. You want to think, you know what I think it is? I think it's his weakened immune system from taking all those COVID vaccines put out by Big Pharma. And it finally caught up to Fauci. And I wonder how long it's going to take for some of these big financial companies like, oh, I don't know, BlackRock, the ones that rebuild the things we destroy after a war, and the warmongering military-industrial complex that never saw a virus or a war they didn't like. I wonder they're going to begin to see that some of these bioweapons really were bioweapons. And maybe when the population starts going down across the world, they may not be able to make as much money as they once did. And if the real globalists that are using companies like BlackRock for their financing, they may decide one day to crash the world economy and to put those money merchants out of business. And I don't think that would sit too well. No matter how you cut it, I think we're about to come into a very unusual and strange time. There's going to be a lot of competition for the things that you see and view and read and are being told to believe. There'll be a tremendous amount of political advertising bombarding you, especially in the so-called swing states here in the United States. You'll be hearing about the never-ending climate change narrative, and it's the biggest threat, and the world's going to come to an end and just catch fire. And on the narrative will go. And then you'll hear about diseases and new treatments and things to be scared of and stay home. The world's greatest psychop is in play right now. And the next several months, maybe to the end of this year into next, are going to be an incredibly vital time. The globalists have been working overtime. They didn't get what they wanted several years back in 2016. And they're trying to get all that they lost that they would have had by now. And the psychop continues. And there's some real evil individuals in this world that don't care about you, I, your family, your kids, even if you eat. They don't. They have no moral compass. They have no conscience. The Bible says their conscience has been seared. And that's why we do this radio program, trying to give you information you may not get anywhere else. Next week begins year number 5. Would you consider supporting us to keep us here? If you can, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. We'll use Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.